All right, we're just going to start. We're just going to get going. So the question today is, what does Jesus teach us about fasting? So, yeah, this is, and so I'm impressed that you're all here this week because I even warned you that this was coming last week. I told you this was coming and you still came. So good for you. And I was just thinking, I don't know that I've ever heard somebody just teach about fasting. And I'm positive I have never taught on fasting. So this might be one of the very few messages ever in the world's history on fasting. I don't know. No, probably not. But so this is unique. And the reason we're talking about this today is because that's where the book of Matthew has taken us. All right. So we're walking slowly through the book of Matthew, and we are in chapter 6, which is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is in a section of the Sermon on the Mount where he says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. And then he touches on three acts of righteousness, or we might call them spiritual disciplines, things that we do that are just kind of part of our relationship. And he touches on prayer. We talked about that a few weeks ago or last week. And we talked about giving. That's another element he talked about. And then the last one he mentions is fasting. So when I was growing up in church, I don't know that I even ever recall, I don't recall hearing even about the topic of fasting. Like that's something people did. I really don't remember until I got to college and realized it was a thing. You know, I think when I read my Bible, maybe as a teenager, I just kind of passed over the parts on fasting and it didn't even register. I didn't even know what that meant. But I remember when we went to college, I did hear a message where a guy was preaching about something different, but he gave an illustration where he mentioned a fasting habit that his grandfather had. And it just stuck out to me. It was just like maybe a 1 minute little illustration. He said something like, yeah, my grandfather fasted once a week, and every week he would fast and he would pray for his descendants. And he prayed that his descendants would know Jesus, that they would serve God. And he says, now all these years later, my grandfather has 20 descendants, like grandkids and such. And he said, it was 21. I think he had 21 descendants. 20 of them were like in full-time ministry. And one of them was a believer, you know, a Christian faithful follower, but wasn't in like active ministry. And it just like stuck out to me. And because he attributed his grandfather's devotion to not just the habit of fasting, but combining this habit of fasting with prayer and just earnestly praying for his family, that he would have a godly legacy. And it just struck me that it was not about what his grandfather did so much, but about what he trusted God to do in the life of his descendants. So for us, you know, we weren't even married yet at that point. I thought to myself, I want to do something like that too, right? So when we got married, we began a habit like that, and we were fasting once a week pretty regularly, praying for our kids that were yet to be born. And I think somewhere in our 30s, I kind of dropped the habit, and I dropped the habit through my 40s, and just really picked it up again recently in 2023, just deciding I want to continue to fast once a week. It helps, too, that my dad is doing it with us. My dad and I we'll fast every Thursday along with Patty. And again, just praying for our family and just believing God do something in our descendants, grandkids, and all of that. So that to me is really what this is all about, okay? If you walk away today thinking fasting is a great way to lose a little bit of weight, or if you walk away thinking I should fast to be a better Christian, then you've walked away with the wrong idea, all right? For us, to me, the idea of fasting is that God has given us a tool that, if you will, it helps us become more sensitive to what God is doing in our life. To me, it almost puts like a magnifying lens on our prayer that, Lord, I'm serious about this. I'm so serious about this prayer that I'm willing to go without food. That's what we hope you go away with this from, all right? Not that it's not a legalistic thing, because that's why people walk away from things like fasting and prayer and Bible reading is because it becomes legalistic. But so I want to say that right up front, that once we've had a legalistic mindset about it, we're doing exactly what Jesus says not to do in these words we're going to read. So what does Jesus say about fasting? Let's listen. It's Matthew chapter 6, 16 to 18. Jesus is talking. He says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." All right. And so remember one thing I mentioned when we talked about giving. When Jesus was giving his disciples this teaching on giving, we have to remember that they had some built-in knowledge, right? Jesus is talking to Jewish disciples, and as Jewish disciples, they had built-in knowledge about some of the spiritual disciplines that we tend to forget about in our Christian world and life, all right? So they already knew about giving and alms and offerings and tithes, and as Christians, we kind of need to be reminded about some of that, right? And so the same is true for fasting. When he was talking to his disciples, what did he say? When you fast. So they already had a habit, okay? They already had a habit about of fasting. But as modern non-Jewish followers of Jesus, we tend to forget often about some of the spiritual disciplines that our Jewish brothers and sisters are just kind of part of their life, especially at this time when Jesus was talking, all right? So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about some of those things that maybe we don't have built-in knowledge about, okay? We have to look into the Bible to get the answers. So we're going to look at 8 questions about fasting. And Patty and I are going to go back and forth with these 8 questions. So here is the 8 questions. The first 5, we're going to get the answers from like the whole Bible. The last 3, we're going to dig into what Jesus says in this Sermon on the Mount. So here's the questions. What is fasting? Why do we fast? How long is a fast? What do we fast from? How often do we fast? Who fasts? How do we fast? And what are the results? And so Patty's going to take question 1.
So question 1, again, what is fasting? So we see in that the verse that fasting, or we have a definition that fasting is a spiritual practice. It's a practice. It's a discipline. It's a spiritual practice of abstaining for some or all sustenance for a predetermined period of time. So, a few, looking deeply at the definition. Spiritual, fasting does have physical benefits. We know that. You know, there are physical benefits. If you research fasting, you're going to see all this stuff about fasting being good for your body. But we're looking right now at what is a spiritual discipline. It's something we do to be alone with the Lord, to actually focus our minds on God. It's about sustenance. So you can fast from technology, you can fast from social media and stuff like that, but today we're talking about fasting from some kind of a sustenance, something we actually really do need in life. And we're saying, Lord, for this time I'm going to give up that thing and I'm going to be more hungry for you. And it's also predetermined. A fast is something you plan ahead of time to do. It's not the same as when you accidentally missed lunch today. That's not your fast. It's a predetermined discipline about spending some time not eating in order to focus on the Lord. And here's an example that we find from the life of Esther in the Old Testament. In Esther 4:15 through 17. Gets up there. Esther 4:15 through 17 says, "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my attendants will fast as you do." Okay, so Esther is in a situation that is difficult, and she asks the people around her who know her, who are part of her family and her tribe, and says, "Please gather all those who believe like we do. And I want you to fast with me. We're going to do this together. We're going to seek the Lord together." So this fast had those 3 elements. It was a spiritual fast. It was from sustenance. She actually fasted all food and water for 3 days. That's pretty tough. And it is predetermined. They decided ahead of time, this is what we're going to do.
All right. So I'm going to talk about why do we fast. And So I know Noah was saying something about the microphone. I know it's definitely coming out up here. So Dad, I don't know if you want to come closer. You could come closer if you wanted to. It's up to you. But yeah, well, it looks like it might be the only one. So
there's a seat right here.
Yeah, you could be right beside us if you want to. So we're going to talk about now, why do we fast, right? So when I look through the Bible, I can see three reasons people would fast. One was mourning. Okay, mourning as in crying, weeping, that kind of thing. When David learned that King Saul had passed away, if you don't know who that, so King David, King Saul was above him. King Saul didn't want David to become king, but David wanted to honor the king as much as he could. And so when the King Saul actually died, it says in 2 Samuel, David and the men with him took hold of their clothes and they tore them. They mourned and they wept and they fasted until the evening for Saul and his son Jonathan. So, you know, it's almost like your body, in a way, even wants to fast when you're mourning. I don't know about you, but when I am mourning, I don't even want to eat that much, right? It's like your body is saying, let's just go ahead and fast. You know, it's ironic that you go to a funeral and we have a big feast after the funeral sometimes, but this is, and it's fine, right? But that's one reason. The second reason in the Bible is repentance, all right? When Jonah went to Nineveh and he preached and the people all gave their hearts to God, it seems like. This is what, listen to the story, Jonah 3, 6 to 8. It says, when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, this is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. Do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. So here's a thought, right? If mourning and if repentance are a reason people fast in the Bible, I do believe there's something that can happen as we trust God. And as let's say we have something that maybe the old-fashioned people might call a besetting sin or a habit that we just are struggling to get rid of in our life. Have you ever considered fasting? Maybe you just have something that will not let go of you and just say, Lord, I'm mourning over this. I don't want this to be in my life. Lord, I repent. And as just a demonstration that I'm serious about this, I'm gonna fast today because I want to get through this. All right? And that just kind of leads into the third reason that people fast throughout Scripture. It's just this idea of seeking God. Okay? Seeking God. Because if you remove the food element, food can be very distracting, right? Yes. Your stomach can be very distracting. And you can say, okay, I don't want anything but God. I really want to grow in my relationship with Him. And so you see people just seeking God, and they couple that with fasting. And so when the early church, if you look through the book of Acts, read through the book of Acts, you'll encounter fasting a few times. And when they wanted to know God's will, what did they do? They chased after God with fasting and prayer. Acts 13, 2 to 3, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Now think about that. Can you worship the Lord and fast at the same time? Wow, I mean, what a stretch, right? But yeah, you can. You can worship. In fact, I think it helps you. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. And I just think it's really significant that as they fasted, they hear the Holy Spirit's voice. And so there's something more than just coincidental about the fact that the church said, let's just fast. Let's seek God's will. And the Holy Spirit spoke, and they prayed and fasted and sent Paul and Barnabas off. So that's why we fast, right? Mourning, repent. I don't know that I've ever fasted because I'm mourning or repenting. I think repenting I have. I think there's been times in my past where, Lord, help me get through this, and I just fasted and prayed, but especially seeking God.
I know for the two of us, before we got married, we were very young when we got married. We were considering marriage. I was only 19. And we decided, I remember 3 days.
Yeah.
We decided to fast together for 3 days because we knew we were kind of crazy thinking about getting married that young. And both of us came from broken homes. We hadn't seen good examples of marital relationships. We were afraid. And so we chose to fast for 3 days together and to ask for the guidance of some of the instructors who knew us. And so for us, that kind of pushed us into a lifestyle of fasting, I think, too.
Yep. And I was glad that after 3 days of fasting, I felt like God said, go for it.
Yeah.
This is it. All right. Next question I'll answer as well is, how long is a fast? So what do you think? How long is a fast? Hey, everybody, welcome. Come on in.
Come on in.
We're talking about something you probably never have heard
there's
anybody
a chair
talk
here,
about before.
There's a poof there. There are some places yep. to sit along.
The anywhere you'd like.
Yep, anywhere you'd
glad
like.
You're here.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
No worries. Not a problem. Yeah. Yep. So we're talking about fasting today, which is going without food so you can pray, seek God. So how long is a fast? What do you think? What would you say? How long is it? How long is a fast? How long do you fast before it's actually a fast?
A day.
There's a day.
Minimum of a day.
So my dad, I know he has a strong feeling on that one, minimum of a day. So I'm going to surprise you a little bit. I think the shortest fast I can find in the Bible, I would say, is arguably just several hours. And it's only one place. Remember that passage I read about David? So David was a younger guy. King Saul was king. David knew he was called to be king, but King Saul didn't want him to be king. And so King Saul was chasing David around, trying to kill David. But David is a man after God's own heart. And so when King Saul died, David fasted. But what I think is a little bit humorous when I look at it, he only fasted a few hours. It says, David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and they tore them. They mourned and they wept and they fasted until evening for Saul and his son Jonathan. So how long was David's fast? Well, it just depends on when he found out, right? So if he found out like late afternoon and he fasted until the evening, he said, okay, we're not going to eat until sundown and then we'll go ahead and eat. But the Bible does call it a fast. Mm-hmm. And so maybe David found out after breakfast. So you could say a few hours, but there's one, that's only one example. There's other fasts. The longest fast I know of is 40 days. Who did a 40-day fast?
Jesus.
Who else? Moses, I heard. And I think Elijah also did a 40-day fast, right?
Was that considered a fast when John ate the locusts and honey?
Maybe a sort of a fast, kind of a somewhat of a... We'll talk about that too. So there's many different fasts in between. So you have David from a few hours, like the rest of the day, and you have 40 day, you have 1 day fast, 3 day fast, 7, 10, 14, 21 days. Now, medically speaking, so this is what the internet says. So is medically speaking, your body doesn't know it's fasting until it's fasted for 12 hours. After 12 hours, your body's like, oh, something's going on. You know, something different is happening. So if your body doesn't even know you're fasting, are you really fasting? That's a good question to ask. And so we might say that 12 hours is a pretty good minimum. Okay? Like for me, for a regular practice of fasting, we started fasting when we were 19 and have done it over the years. And we have done together 3 day fasts. We've done a week long fast. We have, when I was young and probably kind of stupid in my 20s, I really thought I want to try to do a 40-day fast.
It was stupid.
And I think I made it 37 days and decided, wow. I think I'm dying, and I ate. So I don't recommend it, but what we have found with different kinds of fasting throughout the years is I feel like a 36 hours is like the sweet spot. Because a 12-hour fast, you can eat in the morning, and then you think about eating supper all day long. A 24-hour fast, you eat tonight, and then you think, I'll eat again tomorrow night, so you think about eating all day long. But a 36-hour fast, what I'm doing currently is I stop eating at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night, don't eat all day Thursday, don't think about food, and then Friday morning, 8 o'clock, I have breakfast, and that's like perfect spot. I feel like I don't get distracted by thinking about food on Thursdays. So that's our habit.
So what do we fast from, right? So we're going to go back to that definition of fasting. The spiritual practice of abstaining from some or all sustenance for a predetermined period of time. So if you're doing a short fast, most of us can handle fasting from all sustenance, you know, like 12 to 36 hours. You can maybe do that long. Personally, I've never fasted from all sustenance. I've always given myself water. And I really believe there's freedom in fasting.
And coffee, I've given myself.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I just really believe there's a lot of freedom. This is not a legalistic thing. We can seek the Lord and we can pray about it. And just some of us, we just need to fast from maybe coffee for a few days. Some of us need to fast from, you know, some maybe all sugared things for a few days. Maybe you need to fast from all meat. But there's just different things we can do. If you're doing a longer fast, you can do like maybe 3, 7, or 10 days. We have the example that Daniel fasted. And Daniel fasted from all sustenance except vegetables and water. So in Daniel 1, 12 through 15, it says, please test your servants for 10 days. So Daniel was in a situation where he had people over him who were trying to feed him the king's food, royal food, rich, delicious food. And he's saying, I want to eat the way I feel God wants us to eat. So he says to his leaders, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So that guy that he's asking, he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. And then Daniel did it again. In Daniel 10, 2 through 3, it says, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food. No meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. I like that he added, girls, that he didn't use lotions. So that's called a Daniel fast. And then watch out what happened. He then experienced a vision of an angel who said in Daniel 10, 12 through 13, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. So I think that's pretty interesting, isn't it? That there was something happening while Daniel was fasting in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm, there was a fight going on. But the takeaway from that part is that you don't have to fast all sustenance for a fast to be powerful and effective.
Yeah, so everybody, I know we have different health needs. And so I do believe fasting involves food. Right? Like Patty said, what do you fast from? And we have an example in the scripture right there that Daniel fasted meats and wines and choice things like that. So next question is, how often do we fast? So the most important answer to this question is that it's a very personal decision. Because, you know, you fast as often as you feel like you can fast. The Bible says very, very little about frequency of fasting. In fact, I can only find one passage in all of the Bible that mentions frequency, and it comes out of the mouth of a Pharisee, right? So it's not the best example, but it's the only one we've got. And so I'm going to read that example, Luke 18, because Jesus doesn't condemn the Pharisees for their spiritual disciplines. What he condemned them for is that their spiritual disciplines, this isn't quite the, that's not it yet. He doesn't condemn them for their disciplines. He condemns them for the fact that they were jerks while they practiced their disciplines, right? So he says, you're giving and you're tithing, that's great, keep it up, but show mercy, you know, show justice, love people, show compassion. So he doesn't condemn the practices. And so we can learn, we can practice, but we can also be loving, right? So this is the passage, Luke 18, 9 to 12. It says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Now, it's interesting. He says, I fast twice a week. And there's an ancient document that even tells us what days the Pharisees fasted. How many have ever heard of a book called the Didache? Raise your hand. We got one Didache, one over there. The Didache, or the Didache. So it's this document from, they believe, the first or second century. So this is ancient Christianity. And some early church fathers basically put down what they felt like this is how you can live the Christian life. And it was lost for years and years and years, and I think they finally rediscovered it like in the 1700s maybe, do you know, Ryan, somewhere in there. And I guess there's record that early Christians felt it should even be in the Bible, but it didn't get into the Bible. But what it does give us is it gives us the mindset of extremely early Christians and what they felt their habits should be. So I'm going to read you, and the document is so short. It's like you could read it in 10 minutes. So it's just a super short, here's a few things if you want to follow Jesus. And so this, again, is from first century Christianity. This is chapter 8. The chapter is about fasting and prayer. And this is what it says. It says, don't let your fasting coincide with those of the hypocrites, the Pharisees. They fast on the second and fifth days of the week, which would be Mondays and Thursdays. So, talking to Christians, it says you should fast on the fourth day and the preparation day of the week, which would be Wednesdays and Fridays. So I think it's kind of interesting, right? The early Christians said, the Pharisees actually have a good idea. We do believe we should fast, but we don't want to be confused, and we don't want people to think we're one of the Pharisees, so we're going to fast on different days. But the early Christians still set this really high bar, right? They still believed in a regular rhythm of fasting. Twice a week. I personally don't know of anybody who fasts twice a week, right? So I'm content right now in my walk with Jesus one day a week. And even that, by like today, I'm already thinking, oh, I got three more days where I can eat. It still comes into my mind. And I can't imagine doing twice a week. But the best answer, again, to how often is that you decide. But I would challenge you to consider adding a regular rhythm of spiritual fasting to your walk with Jesus. Because like I said, it's not about being a better Christian. Don't go away today by thinking that. It's about saying, God, I want to get closer to you. I want to prove to myself that my life in Jesus is more important than food. You know, I don't need to have food today. I just want more of you. And I want breakthrough, and I want habits to be broken off. Mm-hmm. And I want a legacy of people that come from this union to follow Jesus and be surrendered to him. That's what it's all about. And so consider establishing a regular rhythm. Maybe it's once a month, maybe it's once a week, maybe it's once a year, right? I don't know. But I would challenge you to consider that.
Yeah. So the next question is pretty easy. It's who fasts? And Jesus says in Matthew 6:16, when you fast, and he's talking to his disciples. So even though at the time that he was walking on the earth, we talked about this a few months ago, we talked about how Jesus ate and drank with people. He was with them. And even the Pharisees were like, why don't you fast? You know, calling him a glutton and a drunkard. But Jesus is saying to his disciples, when you fast. So basically, Jesus is saying to us today, when you fast. So all of us fast as followers of Jesus.
Yeah, and there's a scripture you might think of. It's Matthew 9:14-15. And Jesus answers in verse 15, he says, how can the guest of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast, right? So I do believe there's this implication, right, that followers of Jesus will say, okay, he's not here. He's coming back. Until that day, I'm gonna fast.
Yeah.
Okay, number 7. Two more questions. How do we fast? This is Jesus answering these questions now. So back then, if a Pharisee was going to fast, he wanted to make sure everybody knew about it. So Jesus says, don't disfigure your faces. And I can't even imagine what they must have done to their faces to show they're fasting, right? Somehow they disfigured their face. Maybe they just walked around looking pathetic all day and just looking hungry all day. But Jesus says, don't do that, right? Verse 16, he says, when you fast, don't look somber as hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head. And in a modern translation, we might say, shampoo your hair, okay, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting. In other words, just take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was young, I took these words from Jesus to an extreme where I felt like I couldn't even tell anybody I was fasting, even if they asked me if I wanted to have lunch. I had like this religious, I had this legalistic thing. It's like, I can't even say I'm fasting. You know, I can't even, what am I going to do? Hey, do you want to come have lunch with us? You know, just like panic, right? It's really okay to say, thank you, but I'm not eating today, yeah. Right? It's that simple.
Yeah.
You don't have to be freaky about it, all right? You can just, you don't have to overly explain yourself. And I remember I blew a lot of fasting days back in the day because somebody would invite me out for coffee or lunch and I would just say, okay, you know, go along. Mm-hmm. But now I just easily, it's just like, no, sorry, I'm not eating today. And in today's culture, with so many people eating so many different things and so many restrictions, like nobody thinks anything about it anyway, right? So,
yep.
No problem.
Unless you're hypoglycemic.
Yep.
So, number 8, what are the results of a fast? In Matthew 6, 17 through 18, Jesus says, when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So a result of a fast is the Father who is unseen will reward you. But what do those rewards look like? We're going to look at one of my favorite sections of scripture on fasting, and that's found in Isaiah 58. So if you are writing things down, Isaiah 58 is very important about fasting. Because in this section, we see that the Jews, the people who are supposed to be following God, are actually living any way they want to. They're doing all these things that are against what God wants them to do, yet they're still fasting. They're still fasting and they're expecting something. So in Isaiah 58, we get the answer for what the results should be. God is addressing these people who are using fasting to manipulate God. Mm-hmm. So guys, fasting is not a way to manipulate God. Mm-hmm. It's not a way to twist his arm and get our way. That's not what it's about. That's what these people thought. They thought if we fast, then God will do whatever we want. But God answers by saying fasting isn't a magic trick. It's not your way of getting, like, paying ahead and then I'll do it. In fact, what's special about a fast is that it actually humbles me. Fasting humbles us. And it makes us more aware of the needs that are around us, not just in us. I love that when I have fasted, God has changed my heart. Maybe I'm angry at somebody, or maybe I'm really bothered by a situation. And when I fast and take that time, my heart changes, and I realize I have a part to play in this problem, and I need to change. So that's what's been kind of cool. So in Isaiah 58, 3 through 9, we're going to read that. The people say, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Because they're frustrated at God right now. And God says, so they're saying, we did our part. Now you got to do your part. You have to do this, God. So then God says, yet in the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? But then God comes back and tells them what he wants when they fast. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? And then he goes on, and this is what he says is going to happen. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer you. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of finger and malicious talk. I think it's one of the most powerful things we can do, this spiritual discipline of fasting. God can release us, and we can help release others from all kinds of yokes and bondages.
Yeah, and I won't give it specifics, but you know, a lot of our fasting really is about our family. And there have been times where we have fasted and prayed, and like I've chosen, rather than speak to one of my kids, and now they're going to ask me, what was I fasting and praying about? I'm not going to tell you guys, but but I thought, I'm just going to fast and pray. And I've been shocked by how quickly the answers have come.
Yeah.
When I decided I'm going to couple my fasting with prayer, and it just made it so easy. It's like I don't have to talk, I don't have to rationalize, I don't have to argue. I'll just fast and pray, and it's like, wow, that came faster than I thought.
Yeah.
And I've just seen answers to prayer. We've seen to prayer. Like, I remember we were praying for Patty's sister. Yeah. Like, this is 30 years ago. She was far from Jesus. We began to fast and pray, and within, like, literally days, she went to church, and she went to the altar and gave her heart to Jesus. It was just like, like, whoa.
And she just came away from that altar with a whole new look on her face. Like, so much was lifted off of her. So many of the burdens. Yeah. And that was amazing to see.
So, yeah, I do feel like God has given us a secret weapon. Mm-hmm. And culture and society has made us forget about the secret weapon of fasting and prayer. So, the question for you, and we'll close with this. How do we apply this? Well, number one, you're going to ask yourself first, am I going to fast? Will I fast? I want you to think and pray about that. And if your answer is yes, when? Right? Mm-hmm. And you could put in there how often. Am I going to say, Lord, I just want to try it. I'm going to do a 12-hour. I just encourage you to try it. Will I fast? When? And then why? Why am I doing this? And if your answer is, because it's going to make me a better Christian, wrong. Okay. The why is going to be something like, I want to get closer to God. I want to break through. I'm tired of the way my life is right now, and I want to see a change. And I'm going to have at least Sophie come back, and she's going to help, you know, lead us in a worship song that is basically about just Jesus, you know, just give me Jesus, because that's what a fast is all about. I want more of you, God. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to do that worship song. And and then we'll go from there. Lord, thank you. Thank you for potentially the easiest gift you could have given us. It doesn't require us to go buy something. It doesn't require us to go add something to ourselves. It's so easy that it's a matter of just subtracting something. We're just deciding, I'm not going to sit at the table today. I'm not going to put food in my mouth. And all I want is you. I want your will to be done. I want your will to be done in me. I want your will to be done in the situation. I want to get closer to you. I want my senses to be open to you and your reality and not my senses just always being about stuff on this earth. I want my senses to be opened up to spiritual realities, to what you are saying, to what how you're moving. And so, Lord, I pray that you would guide each individual in here. We all have different metabolisms and bodies, and we have perhaps different ailments that we got to think of. But I pray that you would teach each person in here how they can fast, when they should fast, and that you would meet them. I pray that you would surprise people with answers to prayer, breakthroughs, deliverance, and just a closer walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen.